الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اذكروا نعمة الله عليكم إذ جاءتكم جنود فأرسلنا عليهم ريحا وجنودا لم تروها وكان الله بما تعملون بصيرا صدق الله العظيم مولاي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم جزى الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله. As the days of the siege continued, the enemy could not invade Medina Munawwara. However, they looked for opportunities in order to cross over the trench wherever it would be possible. In those places where the trench was narrower and the horses could cross over, jump over, they tried to cross over in this way. And because of this, there was a constant fear, constant threat, and Sahaba radiallahu anhum had to guard and patrol the area of the trench. Especially during the nights, the fear would intensify. The possibility of them crossing over was even greater. It was very cold, severe and bitter cold at that time. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was stationed in a tent, and Sahaba radiallahu anhum would take turns to guard Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Specifically, a Sahabi by the name of Abbad bin Bishr radiallahu an, he would spend a lot of time in patrolling and guarding the tent of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Sayyida Aisha radiallahu anha, wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, mentions that she was with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on one night in the tent. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would go out to guard. He had the fear of the enemy crossing over, so he would go out to guard. When Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam would feel extremely cold, then he would return to the tent and he would warm himself up by sitting close to Aisha radiallahu anha. And thereafter, once he would feel warm, again he would go out. And like this, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam did a few times, until she says that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, if only there could be some good person who will patrol tonight. And just then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam heard some sounds of weaponry, and he called out, and it was none other than Sa'd bin Abi Waqqas radiallahu an. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him, O Sa'd, will you go and guard? He says, yes, O Nabi of Allah, I will guard this area and this front. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam fell off to sleep. She says that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam slept so nicely that I even heard a light snore emanating from the body of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The other respected wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ummu Salama radiallahu anha, she explains an incident when she was spending the night with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She says it was very cold. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam engaged in salah for some time in the tent, and thereafter Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came out, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that I fear that the enemy would cross over at that point. And then he called for Abbad bin Bishr radiallahu an. The Sahabi responded. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked, are you alone or is there anyone else with you? He says that I have a few other Sahaba who are patrolling your tent. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says to him that go to the trench, because they fear that the enemy would be crossing over. When they go there, they find that Abu Sufyan riding on his horse with a few other mushrikeen, few other enemy, few other disbelievers. They were trying to cross over the trench at a certain point. So Abbad bin Bishr radiallahu anhu and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they fired arrows in their direction, they threw stones in their direction, and they warded them off. Then he came back to inform Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam of them accomplishing the mission. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was engaged in salah at that time. Ummu Salama radiallahu anha says, Yarhamullahu Abbad ibn Bishrin. May Allah have mercy on Abbad bin Bishr radiallahu anhu, because he would constantly guard the tent of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam during these nights. During this period, When the news had reached Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that the Banu Qurayza have broken the agreement and the pact, and the siege was continuing, it was becoming difficult for the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam thought of a plan through which he would be able to break the strength of the enemy, and at least one part of the enemy would leave. So it would make it easier for the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and it would be a greater possibility that the remainder of the enemy would leave as well. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in his great understanding, understood that the Ghatafan tribe, the only reason why they had come was because they were offered the khajur and the dates of Khaybar by the Jews that went to instigate them and get them ready to come. They had no other reason. They were not interested in wiping out Islam and the Muslims. They didn't have any political agenda. They didn't have any revenge that they came to take. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam sent a message to the Ghatafan tribe, and two of their leaders, Uyayna bin Hisan and Harith bin Auf, came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam made a possible proposal to them, that if I offer you 1/3 of the dates of Madinah Munawwara, 1/3 of the dates, 1/3 of the year's produce of the dates of Madinah Munawwara, are you prepared to leave Madinah Munawwara and to go back home? So they were ready for it, they were prepared for it. As we explained, they had no other agenda. They were there for the wealth, for the benefit, material benefit. So they were prepared. Whilst Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was still negotiating with them, and it was not yet concluded, it was not yet agreed upon, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam first consulted with the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and specifically the two leaders of Madinah Munawwara, Sa'ad bin Ubadah and Sa'ad bin Mu'adh radiallahu anhumah. When Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam consulted with them, then they gave a very beautiful reply. And this explains and shows what level of respect they had for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, together with them giving their opinion whenever it was necessary for them to present their opinion. So they say, O Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it could be three possibilities. Either this is a command that you have received directly from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you should enter into this agreement, فَمْضِ لَهُ. If it is the command of Allah, then you should continue. We have no issues whatsoever. We will wholeheartedly submit to this command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second possibility is that it is not a command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, this is your desire. It is your desire to enter into this agreement. If it is your desire, then O Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then too we are happy. We will put your desire before our desire, and we are prepared to accept this desire of yours. You may continue with this agreement. And then there is a third possibility. The third possibility is that it is not the command of Allah, it is not your desire, it is just a view or an idea that you have. And this idea you have because you are feeling pity upon us, you are concerned about us, therefore you thought of making it easier for us to lighten our burden, to get these enemies to move away, therefore you have thought of this idea. If this is the situation, then O Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, فَمَا لَهُمْ عِنْدَنَا إِلَّا السَّيْفِ. The only thing we will give them is the sword. We are not prepared to give them anything else. They go on to explain. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained to them, and he says that yes, it is the third reason. It is only because of your sake. I am feeling sorry for you that you are in this predicament. The entire Arabs have ganged up against you. They have formed a coalition against you. It's becoming difficult. The Banu Qurayza have broken the agreement. You have an enemy from outside, an enemy from within. So taking pity upon you, I have thought of this idea. So they go on to explain. Sa'ad bin Mu'adh radiallahu anhu explains. And he says, O Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when we were on shirk, disbelieving in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لا نعبد الله ولا نعرفه. We would not worship Allah. We didn't recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these people were also on the same religion. They were also disbelievers at that time. So we shared the same religion. But at that time also, we did not give them our dates, we did not give them our produce. The only way they would get the khajur of Medina, the dates of Medina, if they purchased it, or if they came as guests to us, then we would offer them khajur and dates. Besides that, they would not get a single date from us. So, O Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَفَحِينَ أَكْرَمَنَ اللَّهُ بِالْإِسْلَامِ. Now when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has honored us with Islam, وَهَدَانَا لَهُ, Allah has guided us to Islam, وَعَزَّنَا بِكَ وَبِهِ, Allah has honored us through your Mubarak presence. Allah has honored us through you. Allah has honored us through Islam. Now, نُعْطِيهِمْ أَمْوَالَنَا, should we give them our wealth like this? Just giving them their wealth in this manner. We are not prepared to do this. مَا لَنَا بِهَذَا مِنْ حَاجَا, we don't have any need to do this. There's no need whatsoever for us to do this. And then he goes on to say, وَاللَّهِ لَا نُعْطِيهِمْ إِلَّا السَّيْفِ, Allah's qasam, the only thing we will give them is the sword. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw this resolve of the sahaba radiallahu anhum. And really, this is what made sahaba sahaba. They were prepared to sacrifice everything. They were prepared to sacrifice their lives, their time, their wealth, sacrifice their own women and children for the sake of protecting Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even in this kind of situation, when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was taking pity upon them, he was feeling sorry for them. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam thought of a plan to make it easier for them. Sahaba radiallahu anhum were not prepared to give up anything for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rather, they were prepared to remain firm and to stand in defense of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and in defense of Islam. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam heard this, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa said, well and good, it is your choice. If this is what you are happy with, then we will continue in this way. As we had explained, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had arranged for the women and children to be kept in a fort. One of the forts that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's family members, the women of his family, were stationed in. That fort was, in that fort, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also appointed Hassan bin Thabit radiallahu anhu to be in that fort with the women and children. Hassan bin Thabit radiallahu anhu, the reason why he was in that fort, there's different explanations that have been given. One explanation is that naturally, this Sahabi lacked bravery. Some people naturally do not have bravery. So Hassan bin Thabit radiallahu anhu, although he was the poet of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would defend Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with his poetry, and that was his means and his way of defending Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. However, he naturally was not brave. Therefore, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kept him with the women and children in that fort. Other explanations are that he was sick at that time, and because of that, it was difficult for him to engage in combat. Therefore, he was placed there. And another explanation is that although Hassan radiallahu an, he had bravery, but then a time came when he was afflicted with some illness. And because of that illness of his, this became a means of him losing his bravery. So nevertheless, whatever the situation may have been, Hassan radiallahu anhu was in that fort as well, with the woman and the children of the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and others as well. And while they were there, when the Banu Qurayza had broken their pledge, then at one occasion, about 10 Yahud, about 10 Jews came and they began to circle that fort. Until one Jew came right till the door of the fort. The aunt of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the paternal aunt of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Safiya bint Abdul Muttalib radiyallahu anha, she sees this Jew coming to the door of the fort. So she says to Hassan radiyallahu anhu that go and kill him, because this person now, he is aware of this fort, he is aware of the weak points of this fort, he will go back and inform the rest of the Jews, and it's possible that they will come and attack us, and we don't have any means of defense. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, they are busy guarding Medina Munawwara. We are vulnerable here. If he has to go and leak this information, then it's going to be a problem for us. So Hassan radiallahu anhu says to her that if I could do that, I wouldn't have been here. I would have been with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Because I cannot do this, therefore I'm here. Safiya radiallahu anha, understanding that this was a very critical moment, And this Jew needed to be killed. And there was no one else there to do this job. Allah blessed her with such bravery. She takes a peg of a tent. A peg that's used for a tent. She takes the peg of the tent. And she goes and strikes this Jew on his head. And she splits his head in two, killing him in this manner. When she kills him, then she comes back and she says to Hassan radiallahu anhu, now you can go and take whatever he has on him. Whatever possessions he has. Because this is the law. When a person kills someone, it was the law that when someone kills someone, then the salab, whatever possessions a person has, that will go to the person who killed him. So you can go and take whatever possessions he has. He is a man. So I cannot touch him and I cannot take these things away from him. This shows us that she needed to do something, but she still maintained her haya. To the level of need, to the extent of need, she needed to put an end to that threat. So she put an end to the threat, but she did not cross the level of haya. Now beyond that, it was not a need. So she did not go and take away whatever possessions he had. She says to Hassan radiallahu anhu, he must go. Hassan radiallahu anhu still did not have that type of bravery to go. Then Khafiyah radiallahu anhu goes, and she severs the head of this person. She cuts off his head, and she throws his head outside the fort. Because she needed to give a message to the rest of the Jews. When his head came out of the fort, then the Jews saw his head coming out, cut off in this manner, and they say that it seems like Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has not left these women and children all alone. Rather, he has kept some people there to guard them, and therefore, because of this, the Jews did not try to attack the women and children that were there in that fort. And Safiya radiallahu anha displayed this level of bravery, and she protected the women and children of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Inshallah, we will continue. Subhanallah, bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.